either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wassalamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qalu ya ayyuhal aziz inna lahu aban shaykhan kabiran fakhudh ahadana makana inna naraka min al-muhsinin. Sadaqallahu al-azim. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are listening downstairs and also at home, just to continue with Surah Yusuf, Hazrat Binyamin, who was the brother to Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, he was stopped. And the plan was that Binyamin should stay with Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam and not to return back with the brothers to Kanaan. And so the plan that was hatched, the guards, what they did is that they put this item belonging to Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam in the bag of Binyamin. And when they found this in the bag of Binyamin, they said that Binyamin, as the punishment in accordance to the law of Yaqub alayhi salam, the one who commits the theft, he is to be detained. And so they wanted to detain Binyamin. And so khair, in the next verse, when the brothers realized that there was no hope and no way out. So in the next verse, in ayat number 78 of Surah Yusuf, قَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزِ, all of the brothers make a plea in front of Yusuf alayhi salam. And here, the title given to Yusuf alayhi salam is يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزِ. And this is a title in honor. So you are actually saying, O our Majesty. With great respect, they are now directly in speech with Yusuf alayhi salam, and they're saying, Ya Ayyuhal Aziz, or someone who is of authority, of power, O our Majesty. Inna lahu aban. Now when you look into how the Quran opens up, and how the Quran describes what the children had said to Yusuf alayhi salam, they said that inna lahu, verily Binyamin lahu aban, he has a father. What did they say? Binyamin has got a father. Aban shaykhan. And so he is a sheikh, elderly, and kabiran, also someone who is aged. So he is also elderly, very much aged. فَخُذْ أَحَدَنَا مَكَانَ. And because of that, what we request is that, is there a possibility you can detain one of us rather than Binyamin? Now when you look at the ayats of the Quran, subhanAllah, just to picture how difficult it must be for Yusuf alayhi salam, how his brothers have described their relationship to Binyamin and also to their father. The Quran is saying in a very crude, abrupt manner they spoke out and said, you know, Binyamin, this boy, inna lahu aban. This boy has got a father. This boy has got a father. Well, if this boy has got a father, then who is your father? If this boy has got a father, then who is your father? So the Quran is actually telling us that the children at that time did not show any respect or any connection with Binyamin, and for that matter, even with Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam. And so that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ, that study the verses of the Qur'an, for you they are great lessons in the Qur'an. لَكَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةِ, and in the stories of the Qur'an there is a great lesson. عِبْرَة means a great lesson for you. Now when it comes to family issues, how many times we also suffer. Sometimes you will find that the children don't respect the parents. You will find that the daughter-in-law has an issue with the father-in-law or mother-in-law or sister-in-law. You will find brothers fighting, families are disunited, the difficulty that we have. So the Quran is saying the difficulty that you are facing, this is already there in the Quran, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so look at the Quran, because the Quran is actually a healing. And so when it comes to family members, you will see that a person needs to be very careful also what he utters, how he speaks. And because of that emotional attachment that a person also has in relationships, so a person has to be very, very careful. So how difficult it must be for Yusuf alayhi salam, that Yusuf alayhi salam gave them the hospitality, gave them food, gave them a place to live, made them feel at home in a foreign territory in Egypt, looked after them, and did everything for them. Despite all that, the way they speak, that he's got a father who's aged and who's elderly, referring to their own father. So we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers. The Quran is telling us that mannerisms are very important. Mannerisms are very, very important. And when you speak to your father, when you speak to your mother, when you speak to your uncle, even if your uncle is a few years older than you, but he is still your uncle, and you speak to him with respect. So these mannerisms are very, very important. We see in the battle of Badr, subhanallah, when Allah gave victory to the Muslims, and the Muslims had prisoners, the first battle, and victory for the Muslims, now they have the prisoners of war. And this was a very difficult moment for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because from amongst the prisoners, one was his uncle, Hazrat Abbas. And so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, because of my uncle, I could not sleep, that he is also a prisoner. And there was also another man whose name was Hazrat Abul As ibn Rabi', Abul As ibn Rabi', who is Abul As ibn Rabi'. He is the nephew of Hazrat Khadija. The nephew of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he got married to the elder daughter of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. So he is actually the son-in-law of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who at that time had not accepted Islam. And so when the prisoners were related to one another, it was decided that to free themselves, they should pay a ransom. So an amount was paid also for the uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hazrat Abbas. And when it came to the people who could not afford to pay any money. Now again here, look at Islam. Subhanallah, we think that Islam is some form of a hindrance in progression. That is not the case. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that from amongst the prisoners who are caught and who are literate, educated from Makkah Mukarrama, their ransom is that they have to teach the people in Medina who are illiterate, to teach them, to make them literate so that they can read and write. That is their ransom. This tells you the importance of education, how important education is. But education is only important if it is upon the foundation of Islam. If it is not upon the foundation of Islam and you are educated and you don't value the Islamic teachings, then obviously that education is of no benefit. If you are not regular in your prayers, if you are not reciting the Quran, if you doubt what Sharia is telling you, and you have issues with your faith, all of these things, then obviously this is not the education that Islam wants. That is why the very first ayat that was revealed, Iqra bismi rabbik, read, but in the name of your Lord. This ayat is telling you that you can study, whether it's Islamic knowledge or whether it is any science that you study, but it must have the name of your Lord. If your knowledge is free from the name of your Lord, then that is going to be harmful. It will be to your detriment. It will be harmful to you. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Qur'anu hujjatun lak aw alayk, that the Qur'an is a source of rahmat that can take you to Jannah, but it can also throw you in Jahannam if you dispute with the Qur'an. It will take you to Jahannam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's title was that he is Ummi. What does Ummi mean? Unlettered. That he is unlettered. Now this does not mean, aliyazu billah, this title was given to him to denigrate his position. Astaghfirullah al-Azim, that is not the case. In fact, for him to be an Ummi is an honor. This is to tell the world that no mortal, no human being can be the teacher of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a source of education, then people would have said, so and so person is the teacher of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And nobody can be the teacher of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why when we look at the Quran, Surah Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Rahman allamal Quran. It is Rahman that taught the Quran. So the teacher of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is who? Rahman. It is Rahman who taught the Quran. And Jibreel is not a teacher. He is just a messenger. What is he doing? He's just a messenger. Whatever Allah tells him, he is the one who brings the message down. So he's a Rasul. He's a messenger. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unlettered. There is also wisdom in there. But khair, I was saying that the people who could not finance themselves, then they had to teach, educate, whatever the subjects were at that time. As for Abul As ibn Rabi'ah, and I said that when it comes to family members, one has to be very, very careful because there is this emotional attachment. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Abul As ibn Rabi'ah that he has to also pay something. So his family members were in Makkah Mukarramah. Now, For him, Hazrat Zainab, she is the wife. So she sends a necklace, and that is to be the ransom for the husband. Abu al-As ibn Rabi, who was married to Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala an. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know of this. And then when somebody came from Makkah, that this is the money to free Abu al-As ibn Rabi', so Allah's Nabi said, what is it? And they put in front of him this very beautiful necklace. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this necklace, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to cry. Why? Because that necklace belonged to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the mother had given that as a gift to Hazrat Zainab, and now Hazrat Zainab is giving that in ransom to free the husband. At that time he had not accepted Islam. At that time he was not a Muslim. And look at the tawazu', the humility of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asked all of the companions and he says, if you give me permission and if you don't mind, that this necklace for me is of great value and it belongs to your mother and my wife, Bibi Khadija, who passed away, is it okay that we allow him to go without paying any ransom? Sahaba-e-kiram ajma'een said, O Nabi of Allah, you are the Rasul, you are the Nabi, and you question us. Whatever you decide, that is Sharia for us. And so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu al-As that you are allowed to go back to Makkah. But then he said, all I want you to do is make safety for my daughter, and things are not well for the Muslims in Makkah, and she was still left stranded in Makkah Mukarramah. So he said that I want you to make sure that she can get back to me. So Abu al-As was a good man. When he got back to Makkah Mukarramah, when people knew that Abu al-As outwardly here, he's still not a Muslim, but yet married to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter, so they pressured him that you have to give divorce to your wife. You have to give divorce to your wife. But Abu al-As was a good man, and he said to the people that how can I divorce this woman when there is nothing, no problem between our relationship, and there is no issue between husband and wife. So why should I divorce her? Why should I divorce her? From this, the ulama have also mentioned that we learn one very important mas'ala, that sometimes you will find that husband and wife are married and they have no issue. They have no issue. But third party element is putting so much pressure onto the boy, the husband or the girl, that you know what, you two need to break up, you two need to split up, and that you better give talaq to this woman, because this is what she said to me, this is what she said to that person, this is what she said to your father or your brother or your uncle. And you find that there is externally other people that want to break your relationship. Sharia is saying that if your relationship with your wife, alhamdulillah, is good, then Sharia tells you to maintain that relationship. Sharia tells you to maintain that relationship. This is something that is very, very important. Even sometimes you will find that there's a hindrance, that when the son and the daughter-in-law are living with the parents, if they can live with the parents amicably, with love and respect, there is no problem. But if you find that because of living together, there are issues, then Sharia also allows and gives that allowance to the son and to that girl, that she can be accommodated independently, so that no takleef is given to her by other sources. Just like how one would want to see your own daughter to be happy and your own son to be happy, one should have that mindset that another person's daughter should also be happy and another person's son should also be happy. So we need to have a very big heart. Alhamdulillah, Sharia has taught us this. But I'm just saying this to you, that look at the pain Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt for his uncle, and the human pain that he felt also for his son-in-law. Now imagine also Yusuf alayhi salam. What a Nabi he must be, that his own brothers are saying, oh, this man, Binyamin, this boy, has got a father. The taklif that he had, at that time he could have punished all of them, but he didn't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him so much sabr, and he still was quiet. And even the proposal that they made, فَخُزْ أَحَدَنَا مَكَانَا, that look, you know what, Binyamin, if you can take any one of us and spare Binyamin. And look at the verses of the Quran. Allah is saying, they said, إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Wallah, one word of the Quran is hidayat. And they said, we see you to be from amongst the muhsineen, the good-hearted individual, a noble man. We see you to be a kind person. A muhsin means a very kind-hearted person. We see you a noble man. Now, inna naraka min al-muhsineen is mentioned here when Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam is on the throne. Where is he? On the throne. And if you go a few ayats also at the back, and you see here also, when the two young individuals were incarcerated with him in prison and they saw a dream. Do you remember that? So the two young people were in the prison and they said, we saw a dream about that bird and all that. I won't go into that. The Quran says they also used the same words. نَبِّئْنَا بِتَأْوِيلِ. Look, give us the meaning and the interpretation of the dream. Inna naraka min al muhsinin. Even they said that we see you from amongst the muhsinin. Amazing. That the two people that were in prison used the same language. That we see you from amongst the muhsinin. And then, a few pages thereafter, all of the brothers are also saying, Inna naraka min al muhsinin. What is the lesson here? Ulama have mentioned that Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, when he was a prisoner himself, when he was in prison himself, he was a kind-hearted person. And when he came out of prison and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a minister, gave him that high position, that high position also did not change the condition of his heart. And he was still a muhsin, a kind-hearted person also, when he was at the peak of his fame. So the Quran is telling us that as individuals, our circumstances can change. You will find some people that 10 years ago they did not have any money. All of a sudden Allah gave them money. Now they stop making salam to people. Now they stop making salam to people. Are bhai, you forgot your friends that you played with. You forgot the friends that you were hanging around with. These were your brothers that were around you. You know, all of a sudden that, you know, you were working there and now you are working here and this is your position given to you. And now all of a sudden you change your tune. All of a sudden you forget yourself, who you really are. So the Quran is saying, this should not be the condition of a person. Whether he is rich, whether he is poor, whether he is a man in this profession or whether he is a man in that profession, the good thing of a person should be that he should be kind-hearted, a noble man all the time, that in every situation a person must say, MashaAllah, you know, this person is a great man. As I know, oh, this man is the imam now of a masjid, you know, so, you know, I've got no time for you, sorry. You know, I don't want to make salam to you, know. Now you are the CEO of a company, or you're an MP, or you've mashallah, and now you change your steps, how you walk, and everything is very, very different. So this should not be the attitude. So Allah is saying, look at Yusuf. When he was in prison, people said, you are a Muhsin. And when he was a minister, his own brothers had to testify, you are also a Muhsin. This is something very, very important, my respected brothers and elders. That is why we see Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he became a Nabi, and when he became a very powerful man in Arabia, what do you see? That the Quran always reminded Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a reminder to the people of Iman that don't forget the company of the poor muhajireen that were always with you. And Allah's Nabi was always surrounded by the poor people. For an example, wherever he went, Bilal was always with him. Bilal was always with him. So this is what the Quran, the verse of the Quran is telling us, that be a muhsin. A person should be kind-hearted all the time. You know, you've got time for your wife. Your wife tells you, we want to go for a holiday. Ah, mashallah, you know, you go for a holiday. But when your mother is saying, beta, come with me, say, oh, mom, I can't take time off. Hey, bhai. Subhanallah. Be a muhsin. Be a muhsin. Be a good, kind-hearted person to everyone. To everyone around you. Sahaba-i kiram ajma'een would say that I would think that my Nabi loves me the most. My Nabi loves me the... Allah's Nabi would give full attention to people all the time. So these are things that are very important, my respected brothers. Very important. That today, if you love your child, then imagine, don't you think that your mother and father loves you and wants you sometimes to be also in front of them? You would also want that. Allah give us the tawfiq. Now Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. Imagine how difficult it must be for Yusuf alayhi salam. Here genuinely the brothers are saying that, look, please allow one of us, you know, take one of us. You know, we need to go back to our father. And he understands that the father will have an issue. He might feel that pain. And how the brothers are talking about the father. What decision should he take? But a leader is that person who takes the right decision at the right time. And the first thing he says, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. Allah forbid. Allah forbid. What are you talking to me? النَّأْخُذَ, that you want me to take? إِلَّا مَوْ وَجَدْنَا مَتَاعَنَا عِنْدَهِ. How can I take anyone else but only that person from whom we found our item? We can only take that person who took that which was belonging to me. How can I take somebody else? إِنَّا إِذَا لَظَالِمُونَ. Otherwise the people will talk about me, Yusuf, who is, you know, somebody who is doing zulm, لَظَالِمُونَ, unjust. The wrongdoer, and I cannot allow that to happen. So this is what Yusuf alayhi salam said to them, that your proposal about allowing you to take Binyamin and replacing him with somebody else, that is not going to be possible. Now, before we go any further, let us stop here at this ruku, the third ruku of the 13th para. Look at the Quran. The Quran is telling us that life is very, very fragile. Life is very, very fragile. One minute the brothers were so happy that our father Yaqub has given us permission and Binyamin is with us. They come, all of the brothers come to Egypt. Binyamin is there also. All happy. And everyone is given a camel load of food. Camel load of... So happy. Living in the royal hotel that belongs to Yusuf alayhi salam. And everything is fine, and then now they are ready to pack up and happy and chit-chatting and talking and wanting to go back. Subhanallah, life is a fickle, everything changes, fragile. إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ. Oh, stop. You people are thieves. You people are thieves. Everything changes. Look at the life, how everything changes. And now you are stopped, interrogated, you are searched. Everything is at a standstill. The brothers are finding it difficult. The same scenario also. The Quran says, فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِي. You know, Qarun came out completely beautified, فِي زِينَتِي. And the key to his treasures, لَتَنُوُ, that it was so colossal that a team of strong men would find it difficult to lift up the keys of his treasures only, not his treasures. Can you imagine that? Just to carry and lift the keys of his treasures, even a team of young, strong men, they would find it difficult. Imagine the wealth that was given to him. And Allah says, okay, فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِي. He came out, you know, all embellished with his wealth and everything. قَالَ الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونَ إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. That the people who were attracted to this dunya, and they said that, oh, only if we had what Qarun has, لَذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ, in simple translation would mean, what a lucky person he is. What is he? What a lucky person he is. He's got so much wealth. So 1 minute you see people were talking about him in this way, that he's got so much. In the next few verses of the Quran, Allah says, فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up the earth and Qarun and all of his treasures and all of his houses and everything that was in his possession was taken in the earth. Subhanallah, and this was his punishment. And we see now everything changes. So life, my respected brothers, is like that. That 1 minute this can happen, the next minute also something else can happen. But a person needs to be with taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Now, when they realize that Yusuf alayhi salam is adamant, he's not going to replace Binyamin for anyone, they decided that it's time for the brothers to have mashwara. For the brothers to have mashwara. فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُ نَجِيَّا. اسْتَيْأَسَ means mayus ho gaye. When they were all dejected from him, as in now Yusuf alayhi salam is not going to change his mind. خَلَصُ نَجِيَّا. So what they did discreetly, all of them got together to take counsel from one another. قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ, the one who was the elder one, Yuhanna, or Shamun, some have said, he said, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ أَبَاكُمْ قَدْ أَخَذَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَوْثِقًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Look, don't you people know that our father, that your father has taken an oath in the name of Allah? وَمِنْ قَبْلُ مَا فَرَّدْتُمْ فِي يُوسُفَ, and before that, we showed also negligence in the matter of Yusuf alayhi salam. Don't you remember? So what face will I show to the father? Now who is this man? He is the elder one. He is the elder one. So what he decided, he said, فَلَنْ أَبْرَحَ الْأَرْضَ حَتَّى يَأْذَنَ لِي أَبِي أَوْ يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ لِي وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. I am not going to move out from this location. I'm not going to go. I can't show my face to my father. What face will I show? We promised him for Yusuf. We didn't bring Yusuf. We promised him that we will bring Binyamin. And there is no Binyamin. And so now the elder one, he is saying, I'm not going to go back. I can't go to my father. You know what? You guys do whatever you want to do. I am going to stay here until my father himself gives me the permission to come. Aw yahkum Allah. Oh, Allah does fasla, Allah has decreed something on my behalf. Wa huwa khairul hakimin, and he is the best of all the judges. So whatever Allah will judge for me, but I am not going to go back. Now what this man does not understand, the elder of the sons of Yaqub alayhi salam, that he is making things as a form of compounded difficulty for Yaqub alayhi salam. First he lost Yusuf alayhi salam, one son. Then he lost the second son, who is Binyamin. And now, no matter what, he is still the son and the elder son, the one who actually looks after everything, for the elder son also not to come. So how many sons has Yaqub alayhi salam lost? Three sons. He doesn't realize that I'm giving more pain to my father. But this is also the sunnah of Allah, that to a Nabi, when difficulty comes and it reaches that level, that the difficulty can suffocate someone, that is the time, it is the sunnah of Allah, that Allah opens the doors. Allah opens the doors. And the most difficulty will be in the hereafter, then Allah will open the doors of Jannah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for 3 years famine he suffered, boycott. The mushrikeen did not allow any food to be given to the family of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then his uncle passed away, Hazrat Abu Talib. Then his wife Khadija passed away, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Then he went to Taif and they threw stones at him. The most difficult, Allahu Akbar, leaf from the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so difficult that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him with Mi'raj. What did Allah do? Gave him Mi'raj. So here also, there is great difficulty now piling upon Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. Three of his sons are now away somewhere from him. So his son, the elder son, is not going to come. The two Binyamin and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam are not there. So the elder brother is saying, so the Quran is actually telling us that when you have brothers, the elder brother is the one who should also be respected, and the brother should also take the responsibility because he is the elder brother. That is why the Quran is saying, قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ, that the elder son, this is what he did. And then he said to them, look, my mashwira to you is, inshallah, just a few more minutes, brothers, irji'u ila abikum, that, you know, you people go back to your father. Fakulu, and said, look, you just have to say what you have seen. Say to him, ya abana, O our father, inna ibnaka sarak, that your son has committed theft. Be straightforward. You lot go and say to your father, your son, what did they say? Your son has committed theft. They could have even said that our brother committed theft. Our brother committed theft. But what did they say? Your son. Look at how the Quran with accuracy is using the right term. Your son committed the theft. Why did they not say our brother committed the theft? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to humanity the nature of insan. The nature of insan. When a person is in trouble, or when a person has done something wrong and there is blame attached to him, then the fitrat of insan is that he will not wish to be related with him. He will want to blame somebody else. But all of a sudden, if somebody becomes rich and all of a sudden that, you know, he has got something in this dunya, then even those family members that you've never heard of from 15, 20 years, they say, "Arey, bhai, don't you know, from that side I am your relation. From that side I am your..." So everybody will want to become your relative during good days, when things are going very well for you. In the morning I was listening to the radio about the people who have won the lottery. To bichara, 1995, I forgot even how much he won, but it was in the millions, a big amount that he won. And so he won that money, and he was actually taken in for adoption. He was taken in for adoption. So he was being interviewed. So he goes, how has the money treated you? So he says, well, let me tell you something, a story. He says, before I won the lottery, I wanted to inquire who my biological parents were. I wanted to know who my biological parents were. So I started my research in looking for my biological parents. And you know what? I found my parents, both of them, mother and father. And so I went and I visited them. Both of my mother and father said that we gave you for adoption is because we don't want to know you, so you get out. So he said that at that time I had tears in my eyes, that my own mother and father have left me. It broke my heart. That my own father, my own biological mother and father don't want to know me. And I had to go for adoption. Allah ki shan. 10 days thereafter, somebody came to me and goes, Mauli Saab, you know, can you give me a few numbers? So what? We want to play lottery. I said, then if you win, what happens? Mauli Saab, charity ma deva. Ay, bhai, charity ma konde. Who's going to give in charity? Nobody gives in charity. But anyway, this is something else. So after 10 days, this person wins the lottery. When he wins the lottery, he says that the very next day I get my mother and father knocking at my door and telling me, Beta, we are your parents. Beta, we are your. He said, at that time with a heavy heart, I said, you know, when I came to you 10 days ago, you said you didn't want to know me. And so today I don't want to know you. So this is what the Quran is saying, that at the time of difficulty, when this false allegation of theft, according to the brothers, was on Binyamin, they did not say that he is our brother, but they said he is your son. This is the nature of insan, nature of insan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And one important mas'ala also, where Yusuf alayhi salam did not want to replace Binyamin with another person, ulama have mentioned that we learn one other mas'ala, that sometimes when somebody has done something wrong and he is guilty, then insan has a tendency that we want to extend the war and the fight with all the other people that are also around him. That are also around him, and that is wrong. That is wrong. So you don't say, for an example, oh, you know, if you have a fight with the wife, and then say, you see, your brother is like that, your sister is like that, your father is like that, your whole khandan is like that. And now from this one woman, where are you going? Everywhere else. The Quran is saying, like how Yusuf alayhi salam said, Ma'ad Allah, Allah forbid, how can I take somebody else, detain somebody else when he is not guilty? So when it comes to your altercation, your fights, your disputes, it should be framed properly. Don't allow it to be dragged onto another person. Otherwise, this will lead to qata rahmi. This will break ties. So a person has to be very, very careful. These are the beautiful lessons that Allah has given us in the Quran. Inshallah, just for a few minutes, if brothers can close their eyes and do muraqabah. MashaAllah, do the zikr of Allah and think that the heart is taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Musaleen. Rabbi ighfir wa arham wa anta khayrul rahimin. Rabbi ighfir wa arham wa anta khayrul rahimin. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Ya Allah, all the people that are sitting here, Ya Allah, it is a Friday. Ya Allah, it's been a long day, Ya Allah, but they are sitting here only for Your pleasure. Ya Allah, forgive every one of us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive all of our family members, Ya Allah. Be pleased with us. Ya Allah, open the doors of Your safety and comfort for us in this dunya, in the hereafter. Ya Allah, be pleased with us. Ya Allah, grant us Jannatul Firdaus. Allah, give us barakah in our lives. Ya Allah, protect us from the right, from the left, from the top, from the bottom, from every side. Allah, be pleased with us. Allah, make us from amongst the muttaqeen. Allah, all the blessings that You have given us, Ya Allah, keep it with us, Ya Allah, all the time. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, let us depart from this dunya, Allah, also with iman. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.